Well, good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Lord, we invite you to come and teach us and guide us, to be with us. Please open our hearts to your Spirit. Help us to care for one another. Do what you wish with us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as Mike said at the start of the service this morning, we're going to pray for healing and for faith. And we'll be doing that in the name of Jesus. And that's something Christians have been doing since the time of the apostles, as we see Peter and John doing here in Acts chapter 3. Got a Bible, you might like to look at verse 16. By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. Now, you and I are a little like Peter and John. We don't have any power in and of ourselves. We're limited in what we can do because we're human. And it's quite natural that when you see people with chronic health problems, that you feel inadequate. We feel limited in what we can do to change their situation and bring healing. But we can pray. It's also quite natural that when we see people who have no Christian faith, we feel inadequate. We know we can't argue or convince people to become Christians, but we can pray. Both healing and conversion are spiritual matters that require God to work. So this morning we come to ask God in prayer to work in people's lives. We are praying in Jesus' name, asking that the Holy Spirit would do what only God can do, that is to bring healing and to bring faith. And although we know we can't do this through any power of our own, we know that nothing is impossible for God. If you know your New Testament, you know that we are encouraged to pray. So Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. We're commanded to pray. Again in Ephesians, Paul says, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And we're also privileged to pray. Paul says in Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Such a privilege to pray for people, and then it fuels your gratitude and your thanksgiving. So I invite you today to do what we're called, commanded, and privileged to do, to pray to God in Jesus' name, to seek his mercy, to ask for miracles of healing and faith. Now, we're just beginning a period that the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has asked Christians all around the world to be involved in, called Thy Kingdom Come, a period of prayer just for 10 days. As Brian Heasley said, in a world where the culture is instant, we need to be people who don't give up in praying, because when we pray, God is at work. Now, if we go back to the reading, I get the sense that when Peter and John headed off for their 3 o'clock prayer meeting that day, they weren't expecting to be part of a miracle. Maybe some of you today are like that. You've just come to church. Your mind is on other things. Maybe you're thinking about what you're going to do for your mother or something you have to do after church. But God delights in surprising us. You might not be expecting to be part of a miracle, but God is here and he's ready to hear our prayers. So why not pray for some miracles? Now you're here. You're my captive audience. Let's join in this together. This unnamed man, crippled from birth, he wants money. He doesn't see the apostles as anything other than potential donors. Like everyone, he needs to eat, and maybe these two guys coming into the temple have a few spare coins. He has no expectation that they carry any more significant gift. Maybe a gift from God. He doesn't expect that. But Peter makes it clear that what they can offer the man is what Jesus can offer him. That's all Peter has. So he says in verse 6, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And this man is immediately healed and begins jumping around and praising God. I just love the exuberance that comes out in this man. Now, the healing only happens because of the power and authority of Jesus. Peter and John are the human agents, but it doesn't happen because they have any power in and of themselves. But look at verse 7. I think it's a beautiful moment when Peter bends down and takes the man by the right hand and helps him up. And as Peter holds him by the hand, God heals the man's feet and ankles. As John Stott says about this moment, the power was Christ's and the hand was Peter's. And I think in that beautiful moment, there is an image for us. As we pray for one another, we're offering, if you like, a helping hand. We're saying to someone, I don't have much that I can offer you. I can't change things for you, but I know Jesus can. Let me pray for you. And that's what we're doing in a service like this. We're saying our resources only go so far. They're limited. Our silver and gold, our power and influence, our intelligence and abilities. They're all limited, aren't they? We all know that. But we know a God whose power is unlimited. So let's pray to him. Why not? Maybe a miracle might happen. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. He's the one with the power and authority. That's why when we anoint people, we do it in Jesus' name. Now, the people who saw this miracle are filled with wonder and amazement at the healing. But if you notice how the story develops, at this stage, there is no statement about faith. It's not as if everyone bows down and believes in Jesus. And that's why Peter goes on to explain what has just happened and who Jesus is. If you see from verse 11 onwards, he has to explain what they've just observed. Why does he have to do that? Why is it so important? It's important to do this because God can do extraordinary things in people's lives, but the people observing it might see the miracle, but they might not necessarily see God. They might walk away being amazed. Wow, I went to this church. Something strange happened. They might be mystified. They might be confused. Or they might still be unbelieving and remain skeptical. Now, example of this is later in Acts chapter 14 when Paul and Barnabas also heal someone who's been crippled since birth. And when the crowd see this miracle, they attribute all the miraculous powers to Paul and Barnabas. They think, oh, these guys are gods, and they want to bow down and worship Paul and Barnabas. And Paul has to run around ripping his robe saying, no, 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 I'm a human being. Don't worship me. And then he has to explain who God is to these people, who Jesus is. So similarly here in Acts 3, Peter has to tell the amazed crowd that this healing didn't happen because of his own power or godliness, verse 12, but through the power of Jesus. And then he explains to people who Jesus is. So again, if you have your Bible open, look at the next few verses, verses 14 and 15. He explains that Jesus is the holy and righteous one, that Jesus is the author of life. Isn't that a great phrase to describe Jesus? The one who brings life, who authored life. And then he explains that Jesus was the one who was crucified, but who God raised from the dead. So Peter shifts the focus away from what he's just done and puts the focus clearly on Jesus. And the healing gives him an opportunity to preach the gospel about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then you get verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, the man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. See how he keeps focusing everybody's attention on Jesus. It's through him, by faith in him. He will go on in a few verses to call everyone listening to repentance and faith. Verse 19, repent then and turn to God. He invites them, the crowd who've watched this miracle, he invites them now to put your faith in Jesus who has just done this amazing healing. The healing is wonderful and particularly wonderful for this man, but Peter's ultimate aim is to call people to put their faith in the author and the originator of the healing, Jesus Christ. Consequently, this morning, we are praying for both healing and faith. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, we would be delighted to pray for you. Even if you're not sure you want to be a Christian, you're still in that sort of uncertain stage. You're a bit like Brian. You might have been in trouble for a few years, but you haven't quite reached the stage where God has made himself completely clear to you. Tonight, today might be just one step along the way, and we'd be delighted to pray for you. Or it may be that you've been wondering about Jesus for a long time, and you've been having these feelings that there's something there, there's something more to life than just going to work every day and paying my bills. And I want to say there is. There is a Lord, a Saviour who wants to know you and transform your life. If you're here this morning and you're already a Christian, it may be that you want to pray for somebody who you know and dearly loved who isn't a Christian. You can come forward. The prayer teams will join with you in interceding for your friends and your family. It may be that you're here because you would like to be prayed for something else, whatever it is, healing, guidance, encouragement. Some of you might have come this morning needing some decision to be made this coming week, and the teams would love to pray for you. The Archbishop of Canterbury has asked Christians all around the world to pray for people to become Christians during these couple of weeks. He's calling this period of prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, which is a phrase that originates from the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. So this morning, we're praying for healing and for faith in Jesus' name. Silver and gold we don't have, but we know somebody who has unlimited power. You may not have come ready to be part of a miracle, but you're here now. Don't hold back.